Welcome to Outside the Box, trying not to compete. Today's topic is girls' sports. While I was surveying voters about the economy on November 4th, Election Day, I was next to a person collecting signatures for a referendum question on limiting girls' sports to those who are, quote, biologically female, end quote. I was not supportive. Uh-oh, I thought, here's another opportunity to publicly criticize transgender persons, promote discrimination against them, and dismiss the idea that individuals, not a birth certificate, should decide their own gender identity. The big distinction here is between two words, sex and gender. This bill talks only about sex, defined by the referendum as, quote, a person's biological status as male or female recorded at birth on the person's original birth certificate, end quote. It does not talk at all about gender or gender identity, although I think that would be more reality-based. More on that in another Outside the Box. There are two primary parts to this bill. Separating athletes on the field by their birth biology, and two, a similar separation in the locker room, shower room, and bathrooms. Let's look at each separately. The on-the-field separation by biological difference concentrates on not allowing those who are assigned male at birth from participating in so-called girls' sports. The reverse is usually true also. No so-called biological girls on boys' teams unless no girls' team in that sport exists. The concern is that at-birth boys on a girls' team will have an unfair advantage because of biological differences. However, all adolescents come in different shapes and sizes. If the goal is fairness in competitive athletics, it could be fairer to have a basketball team, to have basketball teams that are 5 feet, 8 inches or less against others with a similar height limitation, or football contests of only those weighing 160 pounds or more against other teams with a similar weight, or teams where members can run 100 meters in 12 seconds or less and other teams with slower runners. That might be fairer than separating quote-unquote girls from boys. There's also the question of what the purpose of sports is. Is it to be competitive and to win? Or to perform to the best of one's ability? Or to have fun? If it's to enjoy play or to do one's best, and that winning or losing is not a primary purpose of sports, which it should be, and which was the original intent of sports, then final scores of sports events are irrelevant. Winning or losing creates winners and losers. Playing for fun and skill development can produce all winners. Individual separation in locker, shower, and bathrooms is more expensive, but could be a simple solution. To avoid body shaming, just have many separate individual spaces for each person to do their personal business, and then community spaces for athletes to get together that do not include peeing, showering, or dressing. The emphasis is on enabling each individual to have personal space along with a group space for community building. If this referendum passes, it will make discrimination against transgender athletes more acceptable, which could encourage more forms of bias against transgenderism. Discrimination is already practiced in many forms outside of the legal system. It will only grow if it is considered legal in some cases as well. What's your take on a referendum to limit sports participation exclusively by how athletes are assigned gender at birth? I'm Larry Danziger, opposing all forms of discrimination.